study there. I told Brother Beyer here, I said, I see you got some young adults in your family. There are five fathers that approached me. They'll meet him after in the B room, and the B stand for betrothal.
Hey, now. All right.
I mean, this is a generational thing, you know.
Right here.
Only kidding. Yeah, he literally, I'll elaborate a little bit. One of the guys that came to him, I can say it. Most of you weren't here anyways. Your servant. Remember your servant?
Oh, yeah.
Brother Tony. He came with a picture.
Good.
God's will is for you to marry this girl. And then another guy, well, but that's isn't that fun? Only at old, we have a phrase here, wow. Only at old pads.
Yeah, that's true.
Cuckoo with a capital K. All wow. Right. John chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And then John chapter 5, verse 38. Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Lord, it's been a great service. So good to praise you, Lord. And Lord, we're reminded that though our sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow.
Yeah.
Lord, we pray for our missionaries around the world today, Lord, especially our own. I think about Damon and Mark and Lord Reese running around on deputation still. And Lord, I think about Doug over there today and Charlie doing his thing. And Lord, I think I mentioned Damon and Ted and Larry. Lord, all I'm sure I missed someone. Lord, just bless and work.
Yeah.
And Lord, I think of the other preachers. The preachers in town this morning, the like-minded brothers, Lord, that are just trying to get your word out to sinners. Thank you for the young people that did the works this weekend. And Lord, we just pray you bless our service on this good Lord's Day, first day of the week. We give you the first fruits of our income, the first fruits of our time, the first fruits of our week. And Lord, the first fruits of our life. Bless it now in Jesus' name.
Beautiful.
Amen. We just read about Jesus being persecuted. And one way to know you're on the right track with God is even the religious people give you trouble. There are some promises in the Bible that I don't think make the 365 Bible promises on the Bible promises calendar. Like all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Yeah.
Those people that publish those calendars, that's really not the kind of promises they're looking for. Jesus said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they kill me, they'll kill you. And the they in the text was the religious crowd of Jesus' day. And when I was coming up, you know, I didn't get saved. I was 26 and was what I would call religious without Jesus. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, but going around to establish our own righteousness, which wasn't much. But we didn't have the mirror, David.
Yeah.
And so we didn't see. But then, at that time, religion was really, in our eyes, associated with big churches and steeples and statues and crosses and medallions and leaders that wore long flowing robes and religious garb. But today there's a lot more religion when you consider the definition. Listen to this. This is a modern dictionary. A cause, principle, or system of beliefs held to with ardor and faith. Ardor is vigor, zeal, intensity, loyalty. It didn't even say anything about spiritual in that definition. So according to the definition, humanism and wokeism, and I call it digressivism because there's nothing progressive about progressivism, it's just digressive, would certainly fall under the umbrella of religion. They are zealous. We ought to be so zealous. So the religion in our day, as we make a practical application of the scripture, paints a much broader brush than it did in Jesus' day. But here's what's interesting about religious folk, and I want you to get this today. They have no problem of you believing in Jesus.
Right.
I mean, after all, he is the author of the Golden Rule. He did feed the poor and heal the sick. And what about doing good? But I'll tell you what, when you start getting in trouble, it's when you start not just believing in Jesus, but when you start believing Jesus. That's when the book comes in,
yeah.
And that's when you're going to get in trouble.
Big difference. Amen.
And listen, any Jesus outside of this Bible is an idol. If you get a Jesus that you fashion that doesn't balance justice and mercy, or heaven and hell, or right and wrong, or repentance and grace, you got another Jesus. You know what got Jesus in trouble? When he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom
of God.
That's
true, man. Yep.
You know what got Jesus in trouble? His word got him in trouble. They didn't have no problem with him. Well, in that case, they had a problem with him healing on the Sabbath. But when he said, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You can't say that to religious people.
Right.
Spiritual religious people or woke religious people. He said in John 14:4, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Whoa, 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 whoa. What about the Muslims? Don't shoot the messenger. He said, no man. What about the religious teachers? He said, no man. What about the volunteers and the advocates for justice and the volunteers all over that will be handing out turkeys this week? He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you know what it did? It got him in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Talk about exclusive. Talk about marginal. Talk about fringe. Talk about discriminatory. Why should Jesus have a monopoly on the forgiveness of sins and the eternal destination of our soul? It just doesn't seem fair.
Right.
That's like asking in the 1800s, why should I have to pay a train fare to Cornelius Vanderbilt to transport my wares on the plane, or on the train, or to transport myself on the train? By the way, Cornelius Vanderbilt shares a birthday with Jerry.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Do you know why you had to pay Cornelius Vanderbilt to ride the train? Because he owns the train. You wanted oil? You had to go see the Rockefellers. You wanted a Model T? You could gripe and moan all you want. Say, I don't want a Model T. I ought to be able to have the car that I want. No, you got to go see Henry Ford because he's the guy that invested it. He's the guy that invented it. He's the guy that paid for it. And this modern generation can't handle that. They cannot fathom the concept. You invest it, you invest your life savings, you hire the people to produce it, you distribute it, you sell it, you maintain it, and at the end of the day, that sorry sot with his hands stuck out, sitting on his ecclesiastical posterior watching you say, where am I at?
Right. Well?
I'm entitled.
Right.
Sure. This isn't fair. And that's why you young believers, man, I'm glad I'm on the tail end. I told my dad the other day, I said, Dad, he's 88 years old. I said, you lived in the richest time of American history. You went from horses and buggies to jets and airplanes. I mean, my father sees what's going on in this world. He says, well, what are they going to do? I said, I don't think they're going to do nothing unless Jesus comes back. Young believers, listen, you got your work cut out for you because this generation hates absolute truth.
As a fact, yeah.
And you can believe in Jesus all you want. They may even commend you for that. But listen, when you start believing Jesus, now you're in trouble. Now you're in big trouble. You know you're on the right track when the religious people get upset. Number two, look at chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is at Tiberias. Number two, He's not going to plead forever. He's not going to plead forever. There is a term in the Bible called the days of visitation. And the days of visitation has a few different applications. One of them is at the first advent. The Lord hath visited His people. The first time Jesus came, He was visiting the nation of Israel. You'll find that in Luke chapter 1, verse 68 and 78. Then there's another visitation. You'll find that in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 3, when He judges the world. Shall not I visit them for these things? Jeremiah chapter 50 said, woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. And those, if you will, were national visitations to the nation of Israel. But as a practical application, what you will find, if you follow Jesus' ministry, He had a national appeal. But all along the way, He had a personal appeal. There were, as coming at the first advent, He visited His people. But boy, He was walking down that road one day and He saw a blind man and He visited that blind man.
Yeah, man.
How's this for a new term? His macro ministry was to the nation. His micro ministry was to individuals. And if you're saved, especially if you came out of the first generation, you can't deny a season in your life when God was moving in a special way. Maybe through a faithful witness. For me, it was Brother Jay. I wasn't ready for it. God knew I was ready way deep down inside. But that season in my life of May of 1986, something was happening. Sometimes it can be through a preacher. I mean, you know Ron Reese. He was saved watching Benny Hinn.
Oh, boy. Is he really saved? Sorry, honey, I guess.
If you weren't saved from a King James, you must have.
Right, bro?
Man, you're in big trouble if you live before 1611 then.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Maybe a radio, maybe a TV, maybe a family member, maybe a faithful witness, maybe a set of circumstances. And you look back, and I don't like this term, but I'm going to use it. It was a God thing going on in your life that you can't deny. You know what I think that is? Practically speaking, if nothing else, it's your day of visitation.
Yeah.
Jesus said if He left, He'd send that Holy Spirit to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. And I was 26 years old and I had been sinning real good for a long time. And I always had a little bit of God consciousness and you know, crossed myself when I went by the church and had my little medallion on. But here's the difference. Before my day of visitation, sin didn't bother me.
Right.
But in May of 1986, through a faithful witness and through dropping this same Bible on my front porch 36 years ago.
Amazing.
This is the greatest gift you will ever receive outside of salvation. 5/18/86 by J.R. Folk.
Somebody was paying me a visit. Something was upheaving in my life. And as that cross through the Word came in focus, He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. And that doesn't mean a charismatic praise service, because He tells you what it means in the next verse. This signifying what death He should die. And as that cross came in focus, and I realized it wasn't just for the world, it was for me.
Right. Man.
The lights started to come on. understand. I started to read the Bible. I'd read the Bible before. But I started to read the Bible and I was starting to understand some things. You know what I believe it was? The days of my visitation.
Good.
The day when the Holy Spirit was passing my way. The same way He is omnipresent, but He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. That's a special presence. And I answered the door. And I responded to the visit. And the visit became clearer that this was God. And don't get me wrong. You can respond to God till the day you die. But I am convinced that responding to His mercy in your life will never be as easy as it is in the day of that special visitation. I wonder, have you answered the door? And I'm talking about for salvation or His will in your life.
Yeah.
That's the time to respond to God. He said they didn't know. They didn't recognize their days of visitation. Man, you want to respond when He's knocking. Why? After these things, Jesus went over. Because He doesn't knock like that forever. He told them, He said, I'm pleading with you, I'm pleading with you, I'm pleading with you for a whole chapter. And then it says, and He went over and walked away. He said, oh, Jerusalem, I want you, I want you, I want you. But you know what? From here on out, your house is left unto you desolate. And 70 years later, the nation was flattened. Listen, the Scriptures are complete. God is not obligated to visit, to knock on your door in an extra special way. But in His mercy, because He loves us, He does. But I wonder where I would be today if I didn't respond in those days of visitation in my own life. Because I've seen them. I've seen them. I've probably given this testimony to my uncle. We were witnessing to him with Brother Valley, man. He was taking us up to Seattle Mariner games. His brother was the starting catcher for the Seattle Mariners. And man, we had Uncle Joe with us and getting down in the... And his brother, the starting catcher, Dave, was a Christian. And man, he was witnessing. He was witnessing. I'll never forget it. After one of those games, we were in a restaurant and he was preaching to my Uncle Joe, probably 70 years old at the time. And he says, sin is like missing the mark, Joe. And all of a sudden my uncle just said... And my uncle was up to this point, man. He was come and he said, stop! I don't want to hear it no more. And I don't think God ever knocked on his door again with that intensity. I wonder how many today's lives are in a mess because in that season in their life, when God was pulling, when God was visiting, when God lost or saved, are a mess because they didn't answer the door. They didn't respond. You have his complete. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them read them. No, but if you go, then if you go and show, no, they have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear them. He is not obligated. But if he does draw you, if he does convict you, if you do feel that wooing of the Holy Spirit for salvation or getting some sin out of your life or answering the call of God, answer while he's there.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Mañana, I'll respond mañana, all the way to hell, man.
Right.
Or the destruction of the flesh if you're saved. I don't like that verse in Proverbs. It says, you hated instruction. I've hated instruction. And now your call, and I don't answer your call. You don't have the promise of tomorrow.
No.
Respond when it's easy. Young people, respond when it's easy. Well, I'm just going to... Once I get through school, you know, and yeah, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, once I get,
Once I get my out of college, you know, and then I settle down, behold, I say, well, just trying to raise these kids, Lord. You know, that's a big commitment. Behold, and time keeps going and going and going. Yeah, just put my portfolio to getting ready for retirement. Yeah, once I get rid of this back surgery, then I think I'm going to. And your life is gone.
Gone. Yep. Amen.
Answer. In the day of visitation when it's easy. Because it doesn't get easier. Suffer the little children to come unto me. You know what that says, children? Come while it's easy. That we took a course in Bible Institute. What's the one where they minister to the kids, Vicky? Child Evangelism Fellowship. And I was wondering, my kids coming up. Come and see me later. You want to get saved? Come and see me later. But they revolutionized my thinking. And I'm, you know, 1,000 kids raising their hand. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. If that's the way God leads you. But here's what they showed me. What are you waiting for? Well, I want to wait until they're real bad sinners. I want to wait until they're addicted to drugs. I want to wait till they get religion. No. Get them while it's easy. Listen, young people, respond. In the day, they knew not. Why? Because he peeled with them in chapter 5 for 27 verses. And then without even saying goodbye, he went over. He gave them a full discourse in New Testament salvation. He made the man whole in 1 through 13. He told him to repent and sin no more in 14. He talked about judgment in 22. He talked about life after death or damnation after death in 29. He talked about being saved in 34. He talked about the scriptures and eternal life in 39. And when they said no, he went away without even saying goodbye. He's not obligated to respond. After these things, Jesus went. You know you're on the right track when religious people give you a hard time. The best time to respond is when he's moving, because he might not move that way again. Lastly, chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Chapter 6, verse 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. I want to read those first few verses of chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over under the Sea of over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. So the great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh at hand. I like that verse too. It said, a great multitude followed. It's interesting. Who doesn't like a feast? Especially this time of year. Who doesn't like, we used to have the church, I don't know what they called it, the church carnival, the church festival coming up, all kinds of booze and men over and under and spin the thing and shoot the dog. And who doesn't like,
well,
the not festival. The pretend dog.
Really?
Some of our dog haters said amen. Good food. Nice. Listen, these Jewish people, they're family, man. There's a feast going on. And there's family and there's friends and there's probably music playing. But after 47 verses in chapter 5 of hearing from the bread of life and the song of songs and the friend that sticketh closer than a brother and the Passover of Passovers, one that was not just satisfying the body with a feast, but one that was satisfying the soul with himself. Here's our last point. You know where they end up? They end up where there is no food. Way away from the feast, way away from the family, way away from the friends. And regardless of the rejection of the important people, in spite of the risk of persecution by the religious people, although it may not be the majority, multitudes still followed Jesus.
Yeah.
I went through my transition in 1986. I went from believing in Jesus to believing Jesus. And man, when those lights were coming on, and that was my day of visitation. Boy, talk about visitation. You know, you have door knocking visitation. Listen, you can be a part, this is parenthetical, you can be a part of someone's day of visitation by bringing them the gospel. That's right. What Brother Jay was. You say, oh, did you go on visitation? Yeah, on the corner of Lake and Ridge at the Eastman Kodak Company on the second floor. He was part of the day of my visitation. Where's Camilleri? He's in the confessional with folk.
Right.
Doing what? Being visited by God. And there was a battle in my soul as I counted the cost. And I looked at the feast of sin that I had been partaken of, and the friends. Listen, they were in a feast at Jerusalem, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. And on the other side, you know what Jesus said? I'm going over the sea, and I'm going up the mountain, and there's no food there. There's nothing but Jesus. And I looked, and I saw all that. And I knew that what I was on to was more than religion, that the old crowd even shared on Sunday morning after sinning Saturday night. What will my parents think? Even my wife, when we pulled into FBBC, she said, "This is a." She was a teacher, so she saw the sign, the name of the school there. This is a born-again Christian church.
All right.
Brother, in this region, in 1986, you were either Italian and Catholic or wanted to be. Born again, that was like, is this a, what is this?
If I
leave this feast, this family, these friends, this religion, and I go out there, I'm going to be one of the weirdos that I mocked.
Right.
But it was like a spiritual vacuum cleaner. This time of year, one of the best purchases I ever made was a miniature Amazon, $19.99, delivered right to the front door. Battery chargeable vacuum cleaner.
Huh.
I don't know where these flies come from this time of year. We don't have animals. When they appear on the window, especially in the bedroom, and then they hear me coming. And this time of year, they don't have all their wits about it. Some, it's the cold, it's a little bit so. I'll get 30 of them. And I'll see them flying
devils.
Around in there.
Well, devils.
And I'm telling you, God is my witness, 10 seconds later, there's more. I don't know where they came from. And I am sucking. They can't get away. Like they'll start to go and then. That's what happened to me 36 years ago.
So to speak. Yeah.
There wasn't the kind of bread I was used to with these weirdos. But man, I've been full for 36 years. It says, you know what? It says, and they were filled. He's got a bread that this world does not have to offer.
And in spite of us, our numbers seemingly getting smaller and their numbers still seemingly getting bigger, listen, multitudes, this morning, the first day of the week, all over this country and all over this world are still following Jesus.
It's true.
And I like the fact that that just must drive them crazy.
Right.
After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. Why? Why would you leave the feast? Why would you leave the family? Why would you leave the religion? Why would you leave the song? Why would you leave the dance? Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. That's why. He can do what religion can't do. And young people, listen, he, Jesus can do what independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-believing, old past church that you're sitting in can't do. You've got to get to him.
He took the guilt away that the feast couldn't take away. He took the sin away that the feast couldn't take away. And there I stood in that valley of decision. And I said, man, I got a lot to lose. But I took the step and found out I had way more to gain.
Oh, my. My. Yeah, bro.
36 years has gone by like a second. I don't know what God's doing in your life. I don't know what stands between you and Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus, not church. Not religion, not the feast, not the parties. Maybe it's family, maybe it's friends, maybe it's tradition, maybe it's repentance, maybe it's sin, maybe it's lifestyle. But listen, don't ignore the days of your visitation. When God is moving and convicting in a special way. Because he may not be knocking so hard tomorrow.
Right.
Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. A.W. Tozer said this, if you disregard a check of the Holy Spirit, you will go on grieving God without knowing it.
Yep. That's good.
I heard people say, preacher, I can remember a time in my life when God was all over me and I didn't respond and it's silent. What do I do? Maybe go and get back on where you got off. That's probably where he's waiting. And start that trek away from the feast, maybe away from the family, away from the song, away from the friends, away from the religion, and follow him and go up where the weirdos are. Where the multitudes are. Don't ignore it. Let's stand. If we could sing that song.